For our scripture reading this morning, we turn in the Word of God to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. We'll begin reading at verse 10, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good, and not evil, all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. We read the Word of God that far this morning. Now the text for our sermon comes from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 verses 22 through 24, and then the last part of verse 33. Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then the last part of verse 33, and the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His Word, God has given to us a kind of owner's manual for marriage, how we're to conduct ourselves as husbands and wives. Think about the importance of an owner's manual from an earthly point of view. If you have some problem with your vehicle or you're trying to figure out what something does in it, probably turn pretty quickly to the owner's manual. Or if you're trying to put together some new piece of furniture, trying to install some new piece of technology, you're dependent upon the instructions found in the owner's manual. Now in pride, a man might say, I don't need that. I can figure this out on my own. I know how this is supposed to go, and I'm going to do it my own way. But often the result of that is disastrous. Things go wrong. A person has to backtrack and take everything apart only to redo it once again according to the instructions. The owner's manual is necessary. So much the more is that the case with regards to marriage. And God has given to us a kind of owner's manual for marriage. He teaches us in His Word that marriage is to be a reflection of the relationship between Christ and His church. And God sets out clearly what is the responsibility of the husband and the wife. The husband is called to love his wife, and the wife is called to submit herself to her husband. And yet, we too, in pride, can reject the clear instruction of God in His Word. In pride, we might think, well, I really don't need that. I can figure marriage out on my own. Or maybe we say, that really doesn't apply to me in my situation. My situation is unique, and I know best what is the way to deal with this. In pride, we think we don't need the instruction of God and that we can live as we please in marriage. But to do that is disastrous. Brings about all kind of chaos and ruin and misery in marriage when we try to live according to our own supposed wisdom. God is wise. God doesn't leave it to you and me to try and figure out on our own how we're supposed to live in marriage. God doesn't leave it to us simply to live how we please in marriage. God has given to us clear instruction in His Word. And the instruction of God in His Word for marriage is timeless and unchanging. And that includes instruction of God for a wife that she submit to her husband. The world scoffs at that idea. They say that that's something old-fashioned and outdated, something that belongs to some long-past chauvinistic age where women were repressed and not given the rights that they deserve. But we've gotten beyond that, they say. A wife doesn't have to submit to her husband. She has to assert her own authority. She's an equal to the husband in every way. And she has to show that by taking that authority and living independently of her husband. God's Word, they say, is outdated. God's Word stands forever. The Word of God regarding marriage is not outdated or old-fashioned, but it endures throughout all of the history of the church. The will of God for wives is unchanging. And the will of God for them is that they submit to their husbands. Let's consider this text under the theme, the submissive wife. Notice first of all the calling, secondly the ground, and thirdly the blessedness. We have to summarize the calling of the wife in just one word or phrase. We can say very confidently that the calling of the wife is to submit to her husband. That's something that the Word of God emphasizes over and over again. Here in Ephesians 5, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Colossians 3, verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. 1 Peter 3, verse 1, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. And in Titus 2, verse 5, the older women are instructed to teach the younger women to be obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Over and over again, the Word of God says to wives, submit to your husbands. That's not a popular idea. The idea of submission is not popular in the society in which we live today. The world preaches independence and rebellion. The wife is not required to submit to her husband. And for anyone to say that, it's really for them to be a kind of abusive person, someone that's repressing women. Women is equal to the man in every way. And she therefore has equal power and authority and has to assert that in her home and in her marriage. She's independent though. She doesn't live in submission to her husband. It's unpopular in the world, but that's something that doesn't always sit so well with our own sinful nature as well. The Christian woman as well has a sinful nature, and her sinful nature does not love the command to submit. Her sinful nature is a rebellious nature, a nature that wants to live independent of the headship and authority of her husband. By her sinful nature, she can kick against that God-ordained authority. But the calling to submit to a husband is also unpopular because for many there's a wrong understanding of what submission actually entails. There are too many who have in their mind that submission means ultimately that the wife becomes a slave to her husband. She doesn't have a voice. She may never have her own opinion, and certainly never express that opinion. She may never disagree with something that her husband thinks. And she may never use her gifts. She becomes a kind of wallflower that really relinquishes all of the gifts that she has and doesn't use them. She's a doormat that her husband can walk all over and do whatever he wants with. Sadly, there are even Christian husbands who have that attitude toward their wife. There are Christian husbands who think that the submission of their wife means their wife can't say anything unless she has permission from her husband to speak. Or husbands that think the submission of their wife means that the wife can't even move around the house or go into a certain room or leave the house and go somewhere unless she asks permission of her husband first. It's deeply troubling. That's a misguided and a sinful understanding of what submission means. And the husband that tries to enforce that upon his wife only reveals his own insecurity and pride. Go back and read Proverbs 31 and the description of the virtuous woman. This is a woman who is intelligent. It's a woman who has a mind and uses that, who has wisdom from God and expresses that. It's a woman that takes initiative. And a woman that has gifts and uses those gifts. Submission does not mean that the wife becomes a slave to her husband or a doormat. He can walk all over and do whatever he wants with. What does submission mean then? If it's not that, then what is it? Submission is an attitude of the Christian wife's heart. And the word submission here in Ephesians 5 literally means to arrange oneself under, to willingly place oneself under the authority of another. Christian wife's submission to her husband is that. It's the attitude of her heart where she willingly places herself under the headship and authority of her husband. She wills that. She desires that. She's thankful for the headship of her husband and rejoices when he's faithful in that and expresses himself as a head. That's closely related to the idea of reverence that's mentioned in verse 33 when it calls the wife to reverence her husband. She's called to respect him, to hold him in highest regard. To hold him in high regard because of the position to which God has called him as her head. She honors him as her head. She's thankful for his headship. And all that she does serves to promote him in that God-given position. She's willingly dependent on her husband. If the opposite of submission is to be independent, the positive of being submissive means that she's willingly dependent on her husband. She looks to him for comfort, for encouragement, for guidance and instruction. Her whole life is a life lived with her husband in view. She doesn't have her own independent life. She doesn't try and live separate from him, but her whole life is lived with her husband in view. She uses her gifts faithfully, but in such a way that they serve her home and serve her husband. She has an opinion. And she expresses that opinion to her husband because she wants to be a help to him as they make a certain decision, for example. She has wisdom from the Holy Spirit and she expresses that, but for the good of her husband and to help him as he leads and guides as the head. She willingly places herself under his authority. And that attitude of the heart expresses itself in her outward walk of life, in obedience to her husband. Submission and obedience are closely related to each other, although they are distinct. Submission is the attitude of her heart, and obedience is the outward expression of that. If she, in her heart, willingly places herself under the authority of her husband, she will want to obey him and serve him. Now we know that there is an exception to the wife's obedience to her husband. And that's when the husband requires of her to do something sinful or to go against her conscience. Then she may not obey. Yet her attitude is still one of submission. There's no exception to that. She still honors and reverences him. Apart from that exception, she willingly expresses that submission by her obedience to him. She does that joyfully and cheerfully, without complaint, without a roll of the eyes and a heavy sigh. Even when there's a decision that's made that she might not like. Not a decision that has to do with her sinning or going against her conscience, but there's a difference of opinion and she's expressed that. But ultimately the final decision rests with her husband and he makes a decision. She submits herself. She supports that. And without rolling of the eyes and the heavy sigh and the expression that she's upset and she doesn't like this. Christian wife is called by God to submit to her husband. That submission must have several important features or characteristics. Those are mentioned here in Ephesians chapter 5. In the first place, the wife's submission to her husband is spiritual. That comes out in verse 22 where we read, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Her submission is spiritual because it's directed ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ. She doesn't just have submission to her husband in view, but ultimately her eye is on her Lord Jesus Christ. She recognizes that her husband has that position of headship and authority only because the Lord Christ has given that to him. Christ is pleased to exercise headship through the husband. But her submission is spiritual in that it's directed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ultimately, she submits and obeys Him. And that guards the Christian wife from making her husband a kind of idol in her life, and especially the praise and the affirmation of her husband. Now, it's important that the God-fearing husband praise his wife, as we read in Proverbs 31. It's important that he encourage her and be thankful for her and express that. But the Christian wife doesn't live for that. She doesn't live for the praise of men. Ultimately, she lives for the face of her Lord Jesus Christ. And that also is a reminder that the wife's submission is not based upon the worthiness of her husband. It's not that she looks across the table at her husband and says, "Well, he's so worthy of my submission because of who he is, and therefore then I'll give it to him." Her submission is not based upon her husband's strength and size. It's not based upon his income and being the breadwinner. It's not based upon his perhaps greater faith and spirituality. Based upon the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has placed him into that position. She doesn't submit because her husband is so worthy of that, but she submits herself because the Lord has called her husband to that position and her submission is unto him. In the second place, the wife's submission to her husband is to be complete. Verse 22 literally says, "Wives, be submitting yourselves unto your own husbands." That verb is in the present tense, meaning that this is ongoing throughout the life of the Christian wife. And that's spelled out more clearly in verse 24 when it says, "So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Christian wife may not have the attitude toward her husband, "Well, I'll submit to you when I feel like it, but when I don't feel like it, then I won't. Or I'll submit to you in this area of my life, but in this other area of life, I'm going to do what I want and live independently of you." Her attitude is not, "I'll submit to you if you give me what I want, if you're nice to me. If you first provide me with something, and then I'll submit." Her submission is complete. It's not the case that she may pick and choose and say, "My husband better take what he can get because that's all I'm giving him." But she is to submit to her husband in everything. And that's not my word, that's the word of God. In everything. In every part of her life, she's to willingly submit herself to her husband. Look to him for headship and guidance. Then in the third place, the wife's submission to her husband is to be voluntary and willing. Text is in the form of a command. "Wives, submit." There's really no choice in the matter, whether we want to or not. God demands that of you. And yet, genuine submission is not something that's coerced or forced. Genuine submission is something that's done willingly, cheerfully, joyfully. The Christian wife delights in the headship of her husband. She wills that and desires him to exercise that. And she joyfully places herself under that. That means that the husband may not try to force his wife into that. The Word of God never commands the husband, force your wife to be submissive to you. It simply commands the husband, love your wife. The command comes directly to the wife. The wife must willingly submit herself to her husband. There's something wrong in a marriage if the husband is constantly shouting and berating his wife and saying, submit, obey me, submit to me and do what I say to you. There's trouble there. It's not the husband's responsibility to try to force that from his wife. The wife has the calling willingly to do so, and she will do so out of love for her husband. It's very rare that the Bible commands the wife to love her husband. The calling comes to the husband over and over again, love your wife, but rarely is that command given to the wife. And that doesn't mean then that the wife is not called to love her husband. She must. But the way that she shows that love is by her willing, voluntary submission to her husband. If she loves him, she will willingly place herself under his authority. Wives, examine yourselves. Are you submissive to your husband? You willingly place yourself under his headship and authority. Do you desire that? Are you thankful for that? Is your submission ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your submission complete in everything? Is it willing and voluntary and cheerful? This is God's will for you in marriage. This is God's pattern and instruction. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. God gives that command with good ground or good foundation. There's reason for that. Ground or foundation of that command is first of all found in creation. God's creation of the man and the woman in the beginning. Verse 23 speaks to that when it says, wives, submit for or because the husband is the head of the wife. The wife is called to submit because God, from creation, has placed the husband into a position of headship and authority. Again, she's not called to submit because of her husband's superior size and strength, or because of any quality in himself, even faith and spiritual qualities. It's grounded in the authority he has from God. God made Adam first, and he made Eve second. God made Adam out of the dust of the ground, and he made Eve next from the man by taking a rib out of him. God made Adam first to serve him, and then he made Eve second to serve her husband, to be a help meet to him, a helper suitable to him. That idea comes out in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 8 and 9. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. And in that same context, it's explaining why the husband has headship over the wife. It's based on God's work already in creation. God has called the husband to a position of headship and authority in the marriage. He's received that authority from God Himself. And it's the will of God that He exercise that headship over His wife in love. For that reason, then, the wife is called to submit herself to the husband as to the Lord. She honors God's institution of marriage, willingly submitting herself to her head. And that is the calling of the wife. Honor God as the Creator. Honor God as the Creator of marriage, living in your marriage as God demands and submitting yourself to your husband. There's further ground for the submission of the wife to her husband. First of all, that ground is in creation. God's creation of the man and the woman in the beginning. But that ground is especially in salvation. And what we mean by that is that the wife's submission to her husband is demanded by God because that's how she reflects the union of Christ and His church. That's verse 23 and the first part of 24. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. We explained that in more detail in the previous sermon out of Ephesians, that our marriages are created by God to be a picture of Christ and His church. We're united to Christ in an unbreakable bond. He is the bridegroom, and we, His church, are His bride, and He's married us, made Himself one with us so that He's in us and we're in Him. And in that relationship, Christ is the head. There is no body, there is no bride apart from Christ. He's the Savior of the body. He's delivered us from sin and death and damnation. He's made us to be His body and His bride. And in that relationship, He always is the head and the authority. He rules over us in love. And as His church, united to Him, we have the calling from Him to submit ourselves. It's the calling of each individual believer, each one of us as children of God. It's called to submit ourselves to the headship and authority of Christ. We willingly place ourselves under His authority. We will and desire that. We're thankful for His headship over us. The gifts that He's given to us, we use them to serve Him and to bring honor and glory to His name. Whole of the Christian life is submission to our Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful for our salvation, that He's the Savior of the body, that He is our head. In gratitude, we willingly place ourselves under His authority. and everything that we've said about what's to be characteristic of the wife's submission is true, because that's the submission that Christ demands of the church. Just as the wife's submission is to the Lord, so our submission is to our Lord Jesus Christ. We know Him as our Lord. We're thankful for that, and our life is lived as servants of the Lord. We do that not for the praise of men, but as we stand before His face. The wife's submission to her husband is to be complete because the submission Christ demands of His bride is to be complete. Our attitude as believers may not be, well, I'll give what I can, and Christ better be happy with that. I'll submit in this area of my life, but in this other area of my life, I'm free to do what I want and to live independent of Christ. I'll submit myself if first I get what I want. That's not the attitude of the Christian. Our submission to Christ is complete. We submit to Christ with regard to our doctrine and our confession. We submit to Christ practically in our Christian walk of life in the midst of this world. We submit to Christ's lordship with regard to our worship. Every aspect of the Christian life under the rule and authority of our Lord. We submit to Christ on Friday night and Saturday night, just like we do on Sunday. Every aspect of life, every day of the week, Christ demands of us complete submission. Just as the wife's submission to her husband is to be willing, cheerful, and voluntary, so also is our submission to Christ as believers. Christ does not force us against our will to submit to Him and to obey Him. He sweetly bends our will by His grace. He makes us willing and able by His grace to submit and to obey to Him. We do so because we love Jesus Christ, not because He drags us kicking and screaming doing so. We love Christ because He first loved us and He saved us from death and damnation. Because He first loved us, in gratitude, we love Him, and in love for Christ, we willingly, cheerfully submit ourselves to Him. It's for that reason that God requires the Christian wife that she submit herself to her husband. She wants to reflect the union of Christ and the church. She sees that as the pattern and the model for her marriage, and she wants to do her part in that by reflecting how the church submits to Christ in the way in which she deals with her husband. And when that's the case, what a powerful witness is given, what a powerful witness to her husband, to her children, and to any other that she comes into contact with. They see in her, and the way she submits to her husband, the attitude of every believer, saved by grace and thankful for that, and our submission to Christ. And where that's the case, there's great blessedness. There's peace in marriage and in a home. There's honor for the woman in her submission to her husband. the world again says the opposite. For a woman to submit herself to her husband is degrading. It makes her so lowly and insignificant. And any husband that asks that of his wife is some kind of abusive pig. He may require of that. If the woman's going to be honored, she has to be on an equal plane with the husband as far as authority in the marriage. Only then will she get for herself the honor that she's due. But the consequences of that are utterly disastrous. Marriages of the world where that's the case are a mess. They're chaos. Men are no longer men, but fill the role of the woman. And women are no longer women, but try to assume the role of the man. And there's chaos in the home as husband and wife are vying for power and authority in the marriage. And it seems as if the world turns a blind eye to this two-headed monstrosity that they've created. They reject the wisdom of God for marriage. They try to follow their own wisdom, which is utter foolishness. God is wise. God in His Word teaches us wisdom for marriage. For there to be peace in a marriage, there must be obedience to the will of the Lord for how we are to live. When the Christian wife willingly submits herself to her husband, there is tremendous honor there. This is so far the opposite from that being lowly and degrading for the woman. That's honor for the woman in that position. Just as it's honor for the church. The book of Ephesians is speaking of the glory of the church as the body of Christ. She's honored highly as His bride. Just as there's honor for the church being married to Christ, there's honor for the wife in her willing, meek submission to her husband. 1 Peter 3 says that's real beauty. It says, don't be so concerned with the outward, but the woman who adorns herself with a meek and a quiet spirit and submits herself to her husband. There's beauty. Real spiritual beauty and honor. Her children and her husband rise up and call her blessed. They praise her. She's an honorable and a beautiful bride. The result, by the grace of God and under His blessing, is joy and happiness and peace in marriage. There also has to be the husband fulfilling his responsibility as a loving head. It's necessary also for the wife. And where that is the case, there's a real rich blessing of God that's in joy. Blessing of peace and joy in that marriage. And a marriage then that beautifully reflects Christ and His church. Hearing that, what is the response of the Christian wife? Maybe the question or the concern that is in your heart hearing that is this. Who can do that? Who can submit with that kind of willing, cheerful, complete submission? The ideal, the pattern, the goal is too high, it's too lofty. How far short I fall, how sinful is my rebellious and unsubmissive nature. I don't always submit as I ought to. Knowing that, which is true, Christian wife turns to her heavenly husband. She looks to Christ for forgiveness, and in the cross of her husband there is forgiveness for those sins. And in her husband there is grace. Grace and the strength of the Spirit to grow in that, to change more and more, to submit to her husband as the church does to Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, strengthen the wives of our congregation. Strengthen the young women who, according to Thy will, one day will be wives, that Thy word might be so applied to their hearts and lives, the more and more they live in humble and meek submission. We're thankful, Father, for the rich blessing of God-fearing, honorable wives in our marriages, in our homes, and in our church. Continue, Heavenly Father, to grant grace to each one of us in all of our life to live under the headship of our Lord Jesus, so that our life is a thankful life, a life lived to the honor and the glory of Thy name. Graciously, have mercy upon us and forgive our shortcomings and sins. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing Psalter number 125.